Track 6 of the 1997 Braillite 2000 User Guide. Starting with Section 9.1, Basic Operations.
9.1, Basic Operations. The calculator uses MS Braille symbols for all of its functions. Here are most of the Braille symbols you need to know. Addition, plus, dot, 246. Subtraction, minus, dot, 36. Multiplication, asterisk, or star, dot, 16. Division, slash, dot, 34. Percent sign, dot, 146. Square root, dot, 345 chord. Decimal point, dot, 46. Left parenthesis, dot, 12356. Right parenthesis, dot, 23456. Comma, dot, 6. To enter the calculator mode, you make a choice from the options menu as usual. This time you press an O chord C. The Braille light says, options, calculator ready. When you're finished with the calculator, you can return to the file in which you were working by simply pressing a Z chord, and the Braille light confirms exit. Now let's run through some examples. We'll assume you're in calculator mode. To perform any computation with the calculator, you write an expression including all appropriate operations symbols, like a plus sign, for example, and end the expression with an E chord. Never include spaces in a computation, as you might do when writing one out on a piece of paper. And use only drop numbers to calculate. Write 2 plus 2, followed by an E chord. The Braille light responds 4, or 4 period. The response varies with how your speech parameters for punctuation announcement are set. To do another calculation, you don't have to clear the calculator. The Braille light assumes that you're starting a new computation when you enter a number after pressing an E chord for a result. Write 375 minus 157, followed by an E chord. The Braille light responds 218. If you want to be absolutely sure that the calculator is cleared for another computation, simply press a zero chord, dot, 256 chord, and the Braille light confirms cleared. Now go ahead and try a few sample calculations on your own, using some other operations like multiplication. Try decimals. Try big numbers. A couple of notes. When working with negative numbers, you must clear the calculator between one computation and the next. Negative numbers are often used in algebraic expressions. If you're not familiar with their use, don't worry about it. Otherwise, the effect of your calculation is cumulative. Also, when you enter the sign operator for addition, subtraction, multiplication, or division, the Braille light announces the word plus, minus, times, or divided by before you enter another number. Setting precision. So far, our sample calculations have come out even. There have been no remainders. But if you divide 100 by 14, the Braille light's response varies according to the number of decimal places to which your calculator is set. This is referred to as the precision of the calculator. Usually, two decimal places is enough, since that's all you need for currency. But occasionally, you'll want a more precise response. Here's how to change the decimal precision on a calculator. From within calculator mode, press a P chord. At the Braille light prompt, enter precision, write 3, followed by an E chord. The Braille light now says OK to confirm your new settings. Now the calculator is set to 3 decimal places. Let's check it. Write 100/14, followed by an E chord. You should hear 7.142. You can set the calculator to a maximum precision of 12 decimal places. However, be aware that the calculator drops zeros at the end of a result. For example, if you divide 300,000, or 300,000, by 1190, or 1,190, and you have precision set to 2, you get 252.1 as a result. If you set the precision to 3, you still get 252.1. When you increase precision to 4, you discover that your result is 253.1008. The second and third decimal places were 0 and were not spoken when precision was set to just 3 decimal places. Inserting calculation results into a file. Work in your file as you normally do, writing text, cutting and pasting, inserting and deleting. When you're ready to insert the result of the calculation into your text, simply enter the calculator mode and perform your calculation. Then exit the calculator with a Z chord. Finally, press an I chord, followed by an E chord. The Braille light remembers that you just computed something and immediately inserts it into your open file. You're left just where you were before you performed your calculation. Note that the Braille light uses the Braille decimal point, not 4-6, even when displaying an integer. So if you insert a result of 25 into your file, the period will look like the Nemeth Braille decimal point, not 4-6. And not like the literary Braille period, dot 256. You may wish to edit your file accordingly. Furthermore, if you have calculations written in a file for which you need the results, you don't have to write them over again from within calculator mode. Get onto a new line in your currently open file where the hard current returns. Then write a calculation that you want in your file and which you want the calculator to compute. Make sure you write the expression using only computer Braille notation. And by the way, here you can use spaces. Now press an O chord followed by a K to hear the result of the computation. While the answer is not automatically inserted into your file at the end of your written expression, you can certainly add it to the end of the expression by writing an equal sign and then pressing I chord, E chord, to paste the calculator's answer into your file. Caution. As we mentioned a minute ago, everything has to be in computer Braille here, and your result is key. You may want to put Do Not Translate formatting things around the calculation and its results in your file, so that when you print the file, the calculation will print properly. See section 15.2.1 for details on how to turn the Braille translator off for a portion of the file. Performing percentage calculations. Many people find dealing with percentages baffling to say the least. Nevertheless, we provide a couple of examples here for your convenience. Besides, we all use percentages far more than we may realize in daily transactions. Enter calculator mode with an O chord C if you're not already in it. To determine what percent one number is of another number, first write the value of the percentage, then write the percent sign, and finally the number whose percentage you want to calculate. As usual, finish the computation with an E chord. For example, to find 50% of 26, write 50, percent sign, 26, E chord, remembering not to put spaces in between each part of the expression. The bell light responds 13. Makes sense? 50% of something is half of it, so clearly 13 is half of 26. By the way, those of you adventurous enough to try algebraic calculations, trigonometric functions, natural logarithms and the like, get set. We're about to dive headfirst into those deep waters. But first, let's see how to store items into the 26 memory locations in your calculator. 9.5. Storing and using the memory locations. The Bell Light calculator has 26 memory locations where you can store results of computations. These memory locations are labeled ACG. One special memory location, R, always stores your last result. All the others store and save results, even after you exit the calculator mode and turn off the Braille light. There are two ways to store numbers in a memory location. First, write an arithmetic expression and press an E chord to compute its result, then press an F chord. The Braille light says store. Write the letter of the memory location where you want to store it, for example, A. The Braille light confirms, OK. Second, start with a cleared calculator memory and simply write a number, followed by an E chord. Then press an F chord, followed by the letter of the memory location where you want it stored. To read the contents of a memory location, simply write the letter of that location, followed by an E chord. If you have stored a number in a memory location, you can use that number within a calculation. Write the letter of the memory location where you stored the number as part of the expression to be calculated. For example, write 3 minus 2, followed by an E chord. At the response 1, press an F chord, A, to store the result in memory location A. Write 3 minus 1, followed by an E chord. At the response 2, press an S chord, B, to store this result in memory location B. So now you have numbers stored in memory locations A and B. Write A plus B, followed by an E chord. The Bell light looks up the number stored in each memory location and calculates C. You are able to add the numbers using only the letter labels of the memory locations. As we said above, R is the special memory location. The most recent result you got from pressing an E chord is always stored in R. You can use the number stored in R just as you use the other memory locations labeled A through Z. With a bit of practice, you can use these memory locations to store long numbers or important ones, like the amount of your paycheck, so you can track how it's dwindling as you go through the week. Extracting a square root. No, not nearly as painful as a root canal. To extract a square root of a number, write the number whose square root you want, then press an AR sign chord, dots 3, 4, 5 chord. No E chord is required. For example, to extract the square root of 25, simply write 25, followed by AR sign chord. The Bell light simply says 5. 9.7, complex functions. The Bell light has many built-in functions for performing algebraic, trigonometric, and even statistical functions. Basically, the functions have names like SIN for the sine function, and arguments that you provide within parentheses separated by commas. For your convenience, we'll go through a few examples of how to enter functions correctly into the calculator. But for a complete listing, refer to the help file or to Appendix B, the quick reference guide. In addition, if you've upgraded your unit from a Braille light, you'll be pleased to know that we've added base conversion to the scientific calculator. These functions are especially useful to programmers who may need to convert a number from, say, binary to hexadecimal. We've added 6 conversion functions altogether, and you can check them out in Appendix B under the section on scientific calculator functions. As you've seen, the calculator is very handy for plain arithmetic. In the following discussion, we'll assume you're familiar with the terms function, argument, etc. This section may not be for you, If your head starts spinning at words like exponent and sine of pi radians. But if you enjoy tinkering with higher math, the following few examples should be enough to whet your appetite. In this whole discussion, we'll assume you're familiar with the terms function, argument, etc. Let's first take something simple. How about if we find the average of three numbers from within calculator mode, write AVG, left parenthesis, 3, comma, 5, comma, 7, right parenthesis, and press an E chord. Remember to write in dropped number notation and to write the parentheses in computer braille. The braille light should respond 5. Easy enough. Let's try something a little more daring. Calculate the sine of 90 degrees, or pi over 2, radians. Write sin, left parenthesis, 90, right parenthesis, and press an E chord. You should hear the correct answer, 1. Since the calculator's default is in degrees, you're okay, but set it to radians. Simply press an R chord. The bell light says radians. Now write sin, left parenthesis, pi, slash, 2, right parenthesis, and press an E chord. Not surprisingly, you also get a response of 1, since the calculator computed pi over 2, and then its sine in radians. To get back to degrees, press a D chord. Now, for those of you who are real risk-takers, how about calculating the value of E? First, let's reset precision to something like 5 to get a better computation. Press a P chord, and at the prompt, set precision, write 5, followed by an E chord. Now write EXP, left paren, 1, right paren, followed by an E chord. You should hear 2.71828. Sound right? Yes, E is somewhere around that. How about a statistical function? Calculate the median of a group of numbers. Write median, left paren, 5, comma 6, comma 7, comma 8, right paren, followed by an E chord. The bell light answers 6.5. Of course, there's no reason why you can't add like functions together, as in sine of 90 plus sine of 45, etc. This would be written sin left paren 90 right paren plus sine sin left paren 45 right paren. But we'll stop here. By now, you should have the general idea, or be totally at sea. If you find you're having problems calculating some of these complex functions, like certain trigonometric functions, call us for help. Point 9.8. Error messages and tips. If you set the calculator an impossible task, such as dividing by zero, the bell light rejects the expression with error, division by zero. If you use an incorrect chord for an E chord, the bell light says not valid calculator command. You can use the backspace B chord to make corrections. For example, if you want to add 0.5 and 0.5, but write 0.4 as your second entry, press a B chord to erase the 4 and write the 5 followed by an E chord. The bell light responds to your corrected entry with 1. If you haven't pressed an E chord yet, you can hear the calculation you have written thus far by pressing a C chord. Once you press the E chord, however, pressing a C chord does nothing. Finally, pressing an F chord toggles the voice between speaking numbers as digits or full words from within calculator mode. Note to upgraders, this command no longer affects the announcement of numbers in your files, only numbers spoken by your calculator. As you can see, the scientific calculator is quite a bonus. Now, let's turn to some other useful tools in your braille light. Adapter 10. Other helpful features. Point one, word acceptance. The Braille light is obviously a very handy device for so many tasks, but oh, how frustrating that it can't pronounce certain things just right. Well, that's the price you pay for a mechanical speech, isn't it? Not really. You can get the Braille light to pronounce things just the way you want. The word acceptance dictionary takes care of funny-sounding words, proper names, and abbreviations. You can create a special file containing unusual words or letter combinations, acronyms, that the Braille light may not recognize. Take, for example, the letters USA, a very common abbreviation, isn't it? Yet, the Braille light can't be expected to take everything into account. Get into an existing file or create a new one for practicing with this concept. For our example, we'll use our practice file from Chapter 4. Get into it now. Let's start with a clean slate. We'll assume your practice file is empty. If it isn't, delete whatever practice junk you have in it at this time. Write USA. And notice that the Braille light says USA. As if it were Word, we'll create a file called word.fix to keep track of such anomalies so that when we write the abbreviation, the Braille light will pronounce it correctly. Make sure to write the file name with a computer braille period, .46, and not the grade 2 period, .256. Bring up the files menu and create a file called word.fix, having one braille light page, and having braille translation off. Within this new file, write in ASCII only, not in grade 2 braille, the letters USA. Just as before, except that this time, follow the letters immediately by an ASCII equals sign, .123456, then write each letter separated by spaces. So your text will look like this. We spell this out precisely in Braille terms for clarity. USA, .123456, U, space, S, space, A. Now, press the carriage return. .46 chord. You have just created your first word exception. Return to your practice file where you had the text that caused this havoc in the first place. Does the Braille light now say USA? Or does it still say USA? It may or it may not. That depends on whether the Braille light is awake and looking out for word exceptions. Check the status menu to see whether word exceptions is on. Bring it up in the usual way with an ST sign chord and jump to the setting by writing an E for exceptions. The Braille light should say something like, exceptions set on. To turn it off, simply press an N. To turn it on, press a Y. Exit the status menu with an E chord. What's important about the word exceptions dictionary is that you must be using computer Braille when you write in it. You write the word, phrase, or acronym, followed immediately by an ASCII equal sign, and then the correction. The word exception, checker, is especially nice for proper names and for all those alphabet soup acronyms floating around nowadays. And point two, the one-handed Braille light. Some people need to use the Braille light with one hand rather than two. For those special cases, the Braille light can be turned into a one-handed device. To turn a Braille light into a device that accepts two strokes for one-handed use only, simply press a dot fix as you turn on the unit. The Braille light says, one-handed mode on. Braille light ready. File name now open. From now on, the Braille light works like this. The space bar is the focal point. To write a character that involves only dots to either side of the space bar, simply write the character, for example, an L, .123, followed by the space bar. The space is not entered into your file, just L. To write a character that involves dots on both sides of the space bar, F-A-I-G, then write the left half first, .12, and then the right half, .45, followed by a space bar to enter the character into your file. You could have written the right half first, then the left half, or you could have just pressed each key individually. The important thing to remember is that the character is entered only after you press the space bar. To enter chords is a little more complicated. You enter a chord in one-handed mode by starting with the space. Then, you press the appropriate dots on either side of the space bar and end with another space. For example, to get to the end of the file, normally a .456 chord, you press the space bar, then write .456, then press the space bar again. The bell light will then say, Enter File. We suggest you only use this mode if you truly require it. For most users, one-handed mode is unnecessary and potentially confusing if you accidentally get into it. To return the braille light to two-handed mode, simply press a .3 when you next turn on the unit. .10.3, review-only mode. If you want to review the contents of a file, but don't want to bother with chords to read paragraph after paragraph, you can place yourself temporarily in review mode. Press an O chord and at the option prompt, write an R. The bell light says, review on, OK. Until you issue another chord command, any chord will do. You can write dot combinations you normally execute with the space bar. For example, .4. Leads the next line. .14, or the letter C, leads the current line, and so on. Exit review mode by simply pressing any chord. The bell light says off, or turn the unit off altogether to return it to normal use. The next chapter examines macros, and no, we don't mean this. Chapter 12, the Cell Tracker. The Cell Tracker program, or application in computerese, was probably already loaded into your braille light from the factory. It's in a file called cell.bic, which takes up 86 braille light pages. If you deleted this file, thinking you wouldn't have enough room for other large files in your unit, refer to section 1.2, which discusses the expanded flash memory in your machine, and check out sections 14.4 and 15.5 to see how to load this external program back into the braille light. The advantage of having a dictionary always at your fingertips may be worth it. Well, not exactly a dictionary. The spell checker inspects your files for spelling errors and suggests corrections for the misspelled words it finds. It also allows you to create a secondary personal dictionary with words that are spelled correctly but that aren't part of the cell.bic file. And now that you have flash memory available, you can actually store the spell checker in flash. So it doesn't take up any room at all in the RAM portion of your unit. As you see in Chapter 16, external programs generally need to be in RAM in order to run, but we made the spell checker an exception since it's such a vital program. This is the one external program you can run from flash. Now let's see how it works. .12.1, running the spell checker. To load the spell checker into memory from your currently open file, bring up the options menu and write a ch sign .16. The bell light says, spell check what? Write a W to check the word currently under your cursor, or write a V to check your entire document, starting from your current cursor location. If you want to spell check the entire document from beginning to end, make sure your cursor is at the top of the file. If you decide to discontinue spell checking the document, you can abort the process with the usual record. In that case, the document is checked only to the point Well, you canceled the process. Yeah. When a word is not found, you've either spelled it incorrectly, it doesn't match a word in the spell checker, or it may not be a word found in the standard dictionary like a proper name. In such a case, the spell checker has options for you. If the Braille light says, not found, and spells out the word in question, it then presents you with a set of options. Let's look at these one at a time. If you get stuck and can't remember the available options, write an H to hear them repeated, or just run through them with .4 chords and .1 chords, as you would any other menu of options in the Braille light. Point two, adding a word to your personal dictionary. Here's option A for adding a word to the custom dictionary called personal.dic, a file the spell checker automatically creates for you and places at the end of your file's list. The Braille light says OK and keeps searching the file for other misspellings. Point three, bypassing a word for the rest of the document. Suppose you have XYZ in a file. This is the way you want to spell this word. You don't want to add it to a personalized dictionary, and you don't want to have the spell checker continue to warn you every time it finds it. Choose option B from the spell checker menu, and the word is bypassed for the remainder of the spell check process. Point four, reading a word in context. What if you're not sure whether a word is correct, but you would be if you could hear surrounding text? This might be true of an abbreviation or acronym. Choose option C to hear the word spoken as part of the current line of text in your file. Point five, correcting a word. If you realize that the word is spelled wrong, choose option E. The Braille light prompts you to enter correct word. When you've written it, press an E chord and the Braille light says OK, confirming that it has replaced the word for you in the file. Then it continues to spell check the document. Point six, repeating a word. Let's say you're not sure what spelling the Braille light gave you for the word in question. Choose option R to have the word spoken and spelled again. Press .36 chords to have the word spelled out phonetically. Point seven, overlooking a word. If the word the spell checker thinks is wrong is really okay, but you want it to be checked throughout the rest of the document, choose option O. Point eight, suggested replacement words. If you think you might have chosen a better word, or you want to hear possible spellings for the word, the spell checker provides you with its best guesses of what it thinks you meant to spell. Choose option S. The spell checker lists several possibilities. Move back a choice with .1 chord and forward a choice with .4 chords. To the top of the suggestion list with L chord and to the end of it with a .456 chord. Writing a C reads you the current choice, and pressing an E chord replaces the incorrect word with the current choice. To leave this submenu without choosing a replacement word, simply abort it with a Z chord. A note of caution. While the spell checker can check through a grade 2 Braille file, when it replaces the word in such a file, it does so in computer Braille. In other words, if the replacement word is, say, word, you will find that it is spelled out, not contracted, in your Braille file. While this does not affect the reading of the text, it may affect your ability to search for that word later. You could look for the contracted version of the word for a long time and never find it. The spell checker does take up a considerable amount of Braille light space, but if you write a great deal with the Braille light or have no other word processor at your disposal for printing perfectly spelled documents, it can be a lifesaver. And speaking of printers and other computers, we turn to them next. Summary. This lesson has covered a staggering array of utilities and tools available in the Braille light. We suggest you review those chapters that are especially important to your daily use of the Braille light before moving on to our next challenge, telecommunications. This subject can scare some, but don't worry. We'll keep it as simple as possible. You'll find that hooking up the Braille light to other devices can only broaden your horizons. Take a deep breath, and let's move on. Section 4, Conversing with Other Devices. Introduction. Up to now, we've looked at the Braille light as a standalone device. In computer ease, such a device can perform tasks on its own without being hooked up to any other devices. And we've seen how powerful the Braille light is all by itself. We now begin to explore how much more you can do when you hook up the Braille light to other devices, printers, computers, disk drives, and modems. No doubt you've heard that things get real technical when words like cable, serial versus parallel, and even that big word telecommunications come on the scene. Consequently, many shy away from exploring what telecommunications can mean to them. It is indeed very easy to slide into jargon when discussing the subject. The good news is, you don't have to be a techie whiz to hook up your Braille light to another device. As with previous sessions of this manual, we assume that you may not be familiar with telecommunications, and that an introduction will help demystify the subject for you. If you're already acquainted with the jargon, we suggest skimming over the first section anyway, and then looking over the rest of the chapter carefully, because we discuss customizing telecommunications settings in the Braille light. Then you can skip directly to those chapters of special interest to you. Chapter 15, Introducing Telecommunications and Settings. What happens when you're using your telephone or watching your television? Why, information is being sent and received, of course. Voice through the phone and pictures through the TV. Telecommunications is simply the ability to send and receive information to and from one place to another, from one device to another. It is accomplished through cables, linking the devices, and by matching up various settings on the devices being linked together. Cables. The Braille light comes with a cable that you can connect to many printers, computers, even modems. At times, you can make the connection without additional adapters or connectors, but more often, you need to connect cable adapters or additional cables between the Braille light cable and the other device. Let's clear up some of the mystery around cables right off. You don't have to understand the technical details surrounding cabling issues. Just be aware of what kind of connectors you may need. There are four things to consider when linking the Braille light to another device. Serial versus parallel, gender, number of pins, and no modem cable requirements. Don't be scared off by these terms. We promise not to get too techy. Serial versus parallel. The Braille light can either be a serial or a parallel device. You must determine whether the device to which you want to link the Braille light is serial or parallel. The manual that came with the device should tell you, and the dealer can give you this information even before you purchase the device. Most printers today are parallel devices or have both parallel and serial options. Since the Braille light has both ports, we'll discuss them both. But due to the myriad settings you can change on the serial devices, we'll spend much more time on the serial connection. Year, 13.1.2, gender. Another thing to determine about cables is the sex of the connector and the sex of the port to which you're linking it. The ports on the Braille light 2000 are female and accept only male EIN connectors. Note, if you've upgraded to a 2000, notice the new port. Your old cables will not work with your new Braille light 2000 because the connectors are entirely different. From our physical exam way back in Chapter 1, you should recall that the ports on the Braille light 2000 are on the left side of the unit within a long rectangular opening and are separated by two little vertical bars. They're sealed by two small round objects with tiny holes in them. The Braille light cable can be plugged into either port for use with another device, even the portable disk drive. Now let's examine each end of the Braille light cable. Notice that you have a small round connector at one end and a longer rectangular connector on the other end. The housing of the small round connector, which is the one that plugs into the Braille light, has one flat side. This side faces up when you plug the connector into your unit. Also, the rim of the connector is semicircular with tiny pins on the inside of the rim. These tiny pins fit snugly and precisely into the tiny holes in the port on your unit. This type of connector is called a BIN connector. Let's check out the other end of the cable. It may be male or female. Depending on its gender and that of the port to which you're connecting it, you may have to get a gender changer. You plug the opposite sex end of the gender changer to the Braille light cable, then plug the other end of the gender changer into the port on the device, and tighten the finger screws on either side of the connector. Your machine comes with two gender changers, one male and one female. But if you need to, you can usually get serial gender changers from your local computer store. However, to avoid a costly mistake, make sure you're specific when telling a salesperson the sex of your connector and the sex of the port. Number of pins. Yet another issue is the number of pin locations on the connector that plugs into a device, and the number of pins that the port on that device can accept. This number must match exactly, or once again, you'll need an adapter. The standard cable that comes with your Braille light 2000 has a 25-pin connector for plugging it into other devices. Since 9-pin connectors are becoming more common these days, though, you may opt for a Braille light cable with a 9-pin connector instead. Call Blazy Engineering for the alternative cable. If it's inconvenient to have both options at your disposal, you can get by with an adapter that converts your 25-pin connector to a 9-pin connector. Adapters can be purchased at your local computer store or from Blazy Engineering. Here again, it's not crucial that you understand the technical details, but you do need to know what kind of connector you have and what kind of port you're trying to link with, so that your salesperson can sell you the right adapter. 13.1.4, null modem cable requirements. To connect the Braille light to a modem, to another Braille light or Braille sheet, and to some computers, you need a special cable called a null modem cable, or adapter. Some Apple computers, for example, require one, although an IBM PC-compatible does not. The important pieces of information to note here are the genders and the number of pins each connector and port needs in order to match up precisely. When you purchase a Braille light, an interface kit containing gender changer, a no-modem adapter, and even a mini-tester comes with the unit to help with technical problems. Now that we've established the cable requirements, let's look at what you need to do to prepare the Braille light for stepping out into the world of other devices. Telecommunications settings. Assuming you've cabled everything correctly, you still need to make sure that your Braille light telecommunications settings match those on the other device. Oftentimes, trouble arises from simply having mismatched speeds or duplex settings or whatever. In this section, we look at how to determine the status of these settings and how to change them. Both devices you are linking together must talk the same language and be polite enough to listen to each other without interrupting. It's also crucial that they communicate at the same rate of speed, so that one isn't overwhelmed by the dizzying rate or turned off by the sedate pace of the other. Before you start hooking things up, check the manual of the other device for the status of telecommunications settings preset from the factory on that device, referred to as the default settings. If you need to change any settings, chances are it'll be easier to do from the Braille light side of the link than from the other side. To see the status of telecommunications settings in the Braille light, you look them up in the status menu. From there, you can change them or simply exit the status menu with either V or E cord. On the other hand, if you just want to change a setting but don't need to see its present status, you can change it from the parameters menu. We'll show you both as we go through the telecommunications settings one at a time. Baud rate. The speed at which characters are transmitted to and from a device is called the baud rate. Narrator's note. Baud is spelled B-A-U-D. Return to text. This is preset to 9600 baud, or 960 characters per second in the Braille light. To see the present value of this setting, get into the status menu with an ST sign cord, dot C4 cord, and enter a B. The Braille light tells you the current setting, in this case 9600 baud. You can write the first digit or the first and second digits of the setting you want instead, using dropped numbers as always. The possible settings are 150, 300, 600, 1200, 2400, 4800, 9600, 19200, and 38400. Where the first digit is not specific enough to identify the desired rate, you may need to write the second digit as well. For example, if you need to set the Braille light to 150 baud, you must write 15, since 19,200 is another possible baud rate, and the Braille light can't guess which of the two you want. However, if you need to set the Braille light to 2,400 baud, you can simply write a T, and the Braille light understands. Remember to exit the status menu with an E cord to return to your previous work area. If you just want to change the baud rate without checking its present value, bring up the parameters menu by pressing a T cord from wherever you're working. The Braille light says, enter parameter. Let it be, and at the enter baud rate prompt, simply write the first digit or first and second digit of your choice. The Braille light doesn't repeat the baud rate you've entered. It just says OK. However, if you write an invalid setting, it says invalid input, and leads you back where you were last working. You'll need to start all over again with a T cord B to issue a valid setting. Set 15.2.3. Clarity. Clarity works to keep your transmission error-free. All you need to know is that it can be set to even, odd, or none. The default is none. Get into the status menu, use an ST sign cord, and write a P. The Braille light says no clarity. To change it, write an E for even or O for odd. Exit the status menu with an E cord. To change clarity from the parameters menu, press a P cord. At the enter parameter prompt, write a P. The Braille light says enter clarity. None, even, odd. When you write the first letter of a choice, the Braille light simply confirms OK and leaves you back in your previous work area. This setting deserves some special notice because it affects what you hear during the transmission as well as what exactly is being transmitted. There are three choices, half duplex, full duplex, and none. In the following discussion, we assume that your Braille light is set to transmit data. In other words, its serial port is active, ready to send and receive data. When duplex is set to half, the default value, everything you write, your responses to prompts, for example, is stored in your currently open file, as well as sent out the serial port to another device. If you accidentally fail to press the space bar when pressing a cord, a character, the non-corded key, is appended to the end of the text in your currently open file. When duplex is set to full, everything you write is sent out the port and nothing is stored in your currently open file. Therefore, full duplex is generally more desirable. If you have your Braille light connected to your computer, you'll usually want to set the Braille light to full duplex mode. When duplex is set to none, what you write is stored in your currently open file, but it is not transmitted to the other device. This is most useful when transmitting a file from the Braille light directly to your printer. Otherwise, each time you send a carriage return, or whenever the printer receives all it can handle, it might print before you are ready. Enter the status menu and write a D to hear the current setting of duplex. Change it by writing an F or an N. Then exit the status menu with the usual E cord, or enter the parameters menu and write a D. The Braille light says, enter duplex, half, full, or none. Enter a choice by writing its first letter, and the Braille light responds OK, leaving you back in your currently open file. 15.2.4, data bit. The next setting to consider is the data length, or data bit setting. The possible options are 7 and 8, with 8 being the most commonly used setting. To see the present value of the data bit, enter the status menu with an ST sign cord and write a dot 456 character. The Braille light should say 8 data bit. You can change it, if necessary, by writing a dropped 7. That is your only other option in this case. The only time you need to worry about this setting at all is when the device at the other end requires a setting of 7 instead of 8 data bits. Remember to enter the status menu with an E cord. To change the data bit setting from the parameters menu, press a P cord and at the enter parameter prompt, write a dot 456 character. The Braille light says, enter data bit. It assumes that you know your choices. If you write an invalid entry, the Braille light says, invalid input, and kicks you back into your currently open file. To set the valid data bit setting, you must start the process over again. 15.2.5, stop bit. This telecommunications setting has only two choices, 1 and 2. Generally, devices require only one stop bit. To see which way the stop bit parameter is presently set, enter the status menu with an ST sign cord and write an S. The Braille light says one stop bit. Change it to 2 if necessary by writing a drop 2. Exit the status menu with an E cord. still came through the file in which you were working. Or if you just want to change the stop loop setting, press a key chord to enter the parameters menu at the prompt, write an S, and the braille line says, enter stop loop. As always, an invalid entry kicks you back into your currently open file. To restart the process, you need to re-enter the parameters menu. Handshaking refers to a sort of traffic cop, telling one device to stop sending while the other deals with the information it has received. For example, if the braille light keeps sending to a printer which is not able to process the information coming into it, you could lose text. So handshaking keeps information flowing. The three choices are none, software handshaking, and hardware handshaking. What's important to hear is to match the braille light setting with what the other device expects. Enter the status menu with an S2 sign chord and write an 8. The braille light may say any one of the three choices, something like software handshake. To change it to one of the other two choices, simply write the first letter of your choice. Enter the status menu with an E chord. You may also set handshaking from the parameters menu. At the enter parameter prompt, write an 8. The braille light says, enter hardware, software, or none. Write the first letter of an option, and the braille light responds OK, leaving you back in your currently open file. When transmitting from a PC to the braille light, we recommend not using the none handshake setting because it will cause loss of data. Next, we'll look at a few parameters that affect how your data appears when it's sent and how your braille light is affected by transmission of data. Though you don't have to match these parameters on both ends of the link, you should understand how they can be of help and how they can create potential snags if they're set incorrectly. The interactive mode. Recall from chapter 4 that in order to have the braille light echo what you write, the interactive mode must be on. The easiest way to enable or disable it is with a G chord. When you enable it, the braille light says interactive, okay, and when you disable it, the braille light says off, okay. To see the current status of interactive mode, enter the status menu and write a G. The braille light tells you its status. Change it with a Y for on and an N for off and enter the status menu with an E chord. So what does all this have to do with communications? When interactive mode is on, not only is text you write spoken, text coming into the braille light through its serial port is also spoken. This can be especially vital when you're connected to a bulletin board through a modem, for example. If you want to listen to everything coming in through the serial port, you can. However, this slows down the whole transmission process. Even with speech set to maximum speed, the braille light's voice lags behind the transmission. On the other hand, having interactive mode on means that you'll know when transmission has stopped or when you are being prompted by the other device. It also means that if you halt speech with an E chord and data continues to transmit, the voice will resume and you'll be able to catch up, so to speak. Rejecting ornamentation. This is the parameter that controls what kinds of characters are accepted as part of a transmission. Computer networks can generate cute graphic characters like smiley faces and Greek symbols and even characters that draw boxes around text. You can lock out such characters from ever including into your file. Most likely, all you want is the contents in your braille light, not the fancy squiggles, sighted meter, signs, so aesthetically pleasing. When you set the reject ornamentation parameter on, The Braille light effectively screens out, say, the three or more spaces, stars, or any other characters that produce ornamentation in the text, or affect the layout of the text in some way. To set the status of the ornamentation parameter, enter the status menu and write an O. You change the setting on and off with a Y and N. Most of the time, you want to keep it off, unless you're hooked up to a device that is constantly sending you extra stars on the light. You can also change this setting by pressing the C chord to enter the parameters menu. Write an O and the Braille light prompts, eject ornamentation characters, enter YRN. Respond according to your need at the time, and you'll hear, OK, finding yourself back in your currently open file. Now that you have an elementary understanding of telecommunication settings and how to match them to the device you're linking with your Braille light, you are ready to skip to the chapters of this section that particularly interest you.
To continue on track 7, fast forward to the end of this side, change the side selector switch, turn this cassette over.